Mr. Alan Pollock, real two. Now, we were talking about your time, your childhood. Now, what about your education then? Let's take it when you go to St. Paul's School, West Kensington, and that's in 1947,
48? Yeah.
Now, tell us a bit about your education there.
Well, the school had just returned, and I believe my elder brother was even a short while at a place called East Hampstead, where it was evacuated to. And I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I believe he was there for about one term, just as it was about to return to either you call it West Kensington, because it's right on the borders, or east of Hammersmith. But the big old, rather gothic-looking St. Paul's was there, with the big St. Paul's school on the south side with its playing fields.
Now, what was it like as a school?
I think the facilities there were probably pretty basic, apart from the size of the school. But I think there was plenty of sport and activities and that. And I was privileged to go there.
Was it a good education then?
Well, in a strange way, it was probably slightly limited, because I was sort of pressured, because I could do it, to go up the classics side, and that ended up, I think one was very unusual in the services, and even the career masters, they didn't want me to go off into the Air Force or the services. But whether that was correct advice or not, I'll never know. But for some reason, they were trying to dissuade me from going into the services. I think they felt that I should have gone up as I could have to take classics up at Oxford or Cambridge. But I went back down the school because I already knew I wanted to go off to Cranwell.
We'll come back to that. Now, so what about sport? How important was sport to you at the school?
Well, I can remember being in the first 15 at the junior school, first 11, because we didn't play rugby. It was just football there. But and already boxing, because I can remember I boxed at the very first weight, and that was a kind of Pauline speciality there. Rather like the tradition was almost as strong as the 153 link with back to Dean Collett, who founded the school originally at St. Paul's in London, linked with the Mercers group. And that boxing tradition, because I remember 4 stone 10, so I could... That was the very first, and then it was 5 stone 5 the next year, I imagine, I boxed.
Did you enjoy boxing?
Yes, and I think in many ways it wasn't a bad thing, because you probably heard that you tended to have butterflies in your stomach before you performed in a ring, and I think that was probably quite a good thing, and you learned very quickly that you couldn't afford to lose your temper or get because then you were likely to lose things. But I think I was always better probably than taking punishment, rather than I only just had a knockout punch later.
Now, what about the OTC or air cadets or combined?
Yes,
so
I was at Scouts at home.
I'll come back then. What about at school?
I was saying I was at Scouts at home and the cadet force at the school. So I did both, so to speak.
So it was a combined cadet force.
Yeah, and you went through. You're right. The Certificate A, or whatever they called it, which I think that almost pre-qualified you, if to some extent, to go towards a selection if you'd passed that.
Now, what was the training like with the CCF? What do you remember of what you had to do?
I can remember the drill at the school, and I can remember really the uniforms, and also I've got a vivid memory of going up to near Colchester for the summer camp and it being surprisingly warm there. And I had a slightly strange experience, I'd say, which is almost a bit weird to describe, but I think whether it was having those Lee Enfields that we had or what, but I can remember lying on a bank there as a youngster and almost floating into a different, it was seeing the other youngsters there, and there was something strange about the atmosphere there, and in a way one always felt one, I suppose it was partly through having read about World War One, and one almost half floated back in one's consciousness. It was a very weird experience I had up there, and it almost sounds completely illogical, but and then it disappeared. But it was a very interesting sort of memory I have of something that I found almost incomprehensible, that somehow for a very short period, you know, probably seconds or a very short time of my life, I seemed to drift off into another, almost another era, and it was something to do with the rifles and the Lee Enfields and the exercise and what have you, and the summer weather there.
What sort of exercises would you do on these camps?
Pretty certain we were under canvas. And it was remarkably like Dad's army in some ways, those sort of field exercises. And I can remember being quite surprised, as the youngsters would be, of the amount of recoil when you fired the 303. I think a lot of people, that's the first thing they notice, the real jolt in your shoulder that you got. And my other major worry was, in an odd way, when I joined the Air Force, was I didn't think I was ever very good at shooting with a 303, for reasons I wouldn't say I was a good shot at all on that front, you know. Firing an aircraft was so completely different, and I was so relieved later that it was so completely different, because I'd say I was a pretty indifferent shot with a rifle, but the other way around, I was quite good at, because I'd done the scouting, at sort of navigation and things like that and map reading.
Now, what about what other sorts of trainings? You've got some simple military exercises. Any other weapons training?
I'm pretty certain that we fired a pistol once, but I could be wrong.
And was there any air cadets there, or was it just...
Yeah, there were. I joined the air cadets later, so I probably should have mentioned that.
Now, when did you join?
I seem to remember...
Was that inside or outside school?
No, the air cadets were... all the CCF and then the air cadet element in it was at St Paul's, but at home I was in the Scouts... So I'd do the Scouts in the evening, and I think I took it up to what's called King's Cord then.
We'll come back to the Scouts on the
Well.
So tell me about the air cadets. So you did the CCF first and then went on to the air cadets.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you went from Army to the air cadets, and that was run by, I'm afraid I've forgotten his name, the person that ran it, but yeah, I'm pretty certain he was on the scientific side of the school. The army side, I think, was under Major, I think he was a Major Hentless, who was actually on the classic side, and I think he'd been in intelligence during the war. It sounded like a rather Germanic name, but he was a very sort of British sort of chap and lived to a ripe old age, and he was on the classic side.
And what did you do with the air cadets? What did they
I can remember doing the sort of syllabus that I imagine is almost there to this day, of aircraft recognition was, I can remember really learning there the differences between the silhouettes of vampires and venoms and things like that. And again, I didn't take to that too naturally, because some boys had a almost an obsessive interest, but I don't think mine was like that. Intriguingly, I although I was quite interested in the whole idea of going flying, and I actually went back down the school, because I'd finished my A levels when I was just turned 16, because you know I was young in my class, but you were always a year or a year and a half ahead, so I ended up at the same level as my brother, who was virtually almost 2 years older. But that was all to do with being classics, and so I went down the school again so that I could pre-qualify and do a bit of science and mathematics for Cranwell.
Now, what were you doing with the air cadets, though? Because you did aircraft recognition. That can't have been all. You must have done more than that.
Oh, yeah. I think there were elementary aspects of aircraft how an aircraft works, I think, that type of thing. And I'm pretty certain there was another helper besides who also, I think, worked in the scientific laboratories, who did aspects, I think, briefly of maybe sort of just an introduction to navigation. And maybe I'm pretty certain that we started Morse, but I could be wrong on that. I did Morse more in the... I'd already done Morse in the Scouts.
Come to that. Now.
So I get confused, but...
Now, what about... So no visits to airfields or anything like
yes,
that?
Yes. I was able, when I was 16, to go down to a gliding camp, which was at Hawkinge. And I can remember, you know, how important that was in a way, because you felt... I'm pretty certain I was 16 then, but I'm wondering whether I was now, because you can glide even younger, can't you?
Now, what did you do at the gliding camp? This is with the air cadets.
Yes.
Now, what did you do?
Well, quite quickly I was sent off solo. You know, with, I think, I forget how many flights you did.
Which glider?
In a Sedbra. They had Sedbra. They had the Slingsby side-by-side one. And then they had the Kirby Cadet, which is a tandem one. And I'm pretty certain I was sent off in the tandem one, but instructed in the side-by-side. But
and what you just got like to fly?
You just got your gliding for... Well, all I can say is, you know, it was a very important element, and I think it is to this day that they realise how useful that gliding is. And from all accounts, it was very useful for the Luftwaffe as well, wasn't it? To get young people young, interested when they're young.
Okay, let's look outside of school, and that's all you did with the air cadets. And what about this Boy Scout thing? It seems to have been quite important. What sort of activities did you do with the Boy Scouts?
I think there was quite an active group there. My big memory is of being both at Boston. Well, at Boston Manor, I used to go into Hanwell. And I think it was a second Hanwell troop, which was linked with the Methodist Church there. And we met once a week. And then occasionally one would go off camping, and they also later had a kind of rover crew there, which I didn't join because I'd already left. But I think I went back a couple of times and just to meet the people. And to this day, I'm in touch with two people linked with that Kenton troop. I'm talking about the Hanwell one first, and then the Kenton one, and the the Kenton also was linked with the Methodist Church, and I think then it was the largest Methodist church in terms of its congregation. It was some massive thing that was all linked to the youth there. Actually, in Kenton, it had it was just the size of the setup and the numbers of people there.
Now, what sort of thing would you do with the Boy Scouts then?
Well, I can remember going off camping, and I can remember also once even going to Germany, because I can remember that was the first time I can remember having alcohol was in a camp in somewhere in Germany, because I've got this vivid memory of a German coming into the pub where we were who just had a baby, and I can remember how you could, you know, with a couple of beers, or even probably less than that, I don't know, it improved one's very limited German.
And how military would you say your Boy Scouts activities were? Because some troops are quite military orientated and some aren't.
I would say probably right middle of the road, I'd have thought. And it was supported, I think, by being linked, I think, with the Methodist Church. And I wouldn't have thought there was any cross subsidy or anything like that at all. But I think you could probably tell that particularly I remember at the Hanwell place that he was an elder of the church, I would say, but a well-respected bloke and a family. I think it was literally, I think it was the second generation that they'd been involved with the Scouts from the very early days. Then I felt, you know, the Scouts was a very useful preparation, particularly for map reading.
You did a lot of map reading with them, did you?
Well, it was just something that I've always was always interested in. I think looking back, that was very helpful later when you started flying.
Now, any other big hobbies?
I was not into modelling at all. And I know a lot of youngsters were.
So what were you into?
I probably read quite a lot. And I think also, I think that's about it. I think.
Now, where did your interest in the RAF
rugby
come from?
One imagines it was fired largely by that gliding as well. And I had an old motorbike, so I had an XWD thing when I was 16. And that was partly, I suppose, linked to knowing my father and his father, my grandfather. I think my grandfather had an accident when he was 74, 75, I think, on bike. And I still ride occasionally myself, but somebody else's bike.
What form did your interest in the RAF take? I mean, you suddenly decided to join it. Does that just come out of a gliding camp? Is that it, or it seems not enough to explain why you suddenly decided to join the RAF?
No, I imagine after my A levels, that was it was a question of whether I was going on to do classics at university or not. To be quite honest, I don't think I can answer your question about the mainspring of it.
So how did you go about joining the RAF then? Or getting a Cranwell?
Well, I think it was quite easy through the school links of the application, and I can remember going up to Hornchurch for the selection board at Hornchurch.
What do you remember of that?
Well, that was aptitude. And my vivid memory of Hornchurch was the fact that the machine that was to test your reactions was, I'm convinced, was wired the wrong way round. Because when you glide, or when you glided, or glid, you knew jolly well that the rule of thumb, which was, you always kick the ball into the centre for the turn and slip, the little bubble, you know, for skidding and slipping. And the machine to check your reactions, whether intentionally or not, I think they'd actually got it wrong for some reason, and they got it the complete reverse way, because I remember having to do it exactly the wrong way, and I've spoken to a lot of people since and about this, and they all, others have said that it was always the right way round. So my vivid memory was that the thing that was your reaction tester was wired the wrong way round, whether they'd made a mistake or what, I imagine. And
what are the
tests? The other thing were putting slots in, you know, putting different things in, and you know, a bit of that. I can just remember that I got off, I think it was Upminster from memory. I might be slightly wrong on that, where you used to walk down from Hornchurch to Hornchurch. Can remember very little about that, more about, and the medical, I think, was there, and then...
What about the medical? How strict was that?
The only thing I remember there was the great job they had for the rest of my life, finding this business of tapping you just under your knees to make it kick, and I've always had a problem with that they'd make me pull my hands like that or something like that to get this. It just struck me what a funny thing, because they'd always eventually get the kick when they just tap you just below your kneecap there, and to get the kick was a bit more difficult in my case.
So just a normal medical, and
yes,
and that's where you joined the RF, was it?
Well, I then went up to Cranwell for the selection. The aircrew selection was in two parts. You did the preliminary, weeding out, one imagines, on the medical and initial selection, and then you went on a aircrew selection course at Deedless House. And the interesting aspect then was that was literally at the same time as the previous entry was passing out, so that was July 1953, because I can remember it was all that was going on at the same time as my selection, and also about that same time, of course, was the coronation flypast as well. I think it was all going on at the same time.
So what happened
to the previous entry?
This actually happened at Deedless House, is part of Cranwell, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, and it's there to this day.
Now,
it's used by air cadets now, and it's a sort of the most westerly building, Ben, on the Cranwell site.
Now, what was the selection board like?
Well, I think we were given a whole variety of different tests, and we were all dressed in denims with numbers on our back and coloured numbers from memory for different teams, and it was really just to test your initiative and how you cope with. Often there'd be sort of long mixture of logs and barrels and things like that, and sometimes ropes and sometimes crossing imaginary streams that and it was, you were obviously being assessed on how you set about it as working as a team to solve a problem like that. And I think that's all I can remember. I believe that also up there one was being interviewed by people at the same time.
Do you remember the interviews at all?
No, I honestly can't. It's strange. I've got a complete blank.
Now that's
on that. All I can remember was my brother, who'd done WASBE and joined the army for his national service, because that's another element that you've you've reminded me of when you said, why did I join the Air Force? One knew that one was going in for national service and at some stage, and it was a question of whether you did it before or after university. And I think that was a trigger to accelerate your interest one way or the other in the services. And partly, as you said, from the having been in the Officer Cadet Training Corps, I think they actually, well, no, it was CCF. That's right. I think it changed its name.
Combined Cadet Force.
That's right, Combined Cadet Force, and then it was the ATC.
So you knew you'd have to do something, so you wanted to choose. But you were going into the regular stuff. I mean,
yes, but in a strange way, the whole thing seemed to make sense at that level. And I think there was an element that I didn't think to go to be a complete sort of bookworm for the rest of my life on the up the classics side, because it seemed to you just end up that classics, if you're any good at it, you'd end up staying at a university or what have you.
Now you end up joining the RAF eventually in September 1953 when you join the Royal Air Force College Cranwell.
That's right.
In Lincolnshire. And now you're number 67 entry. Now what was you? So you arrive in September as a young cadet, and you were still young, weren't you? How old would you be then? 16.
No, I was 17 and a half. I was just under 17 and a half. Yeah.
Now, what was your reception?
Can I just...
Now, what happened when you first got to Cranwell? How did they... You're arriving as a recruit, well, a cadet.
Well, you go with a warrant, a railway warrant. Everything started in those days with a railway warrant. And that was sent to you with instructions just to be up there. And I can remember going up via Peterborough and Grantham, which were the two stops on the railway from King's Cross. And I think it was obviously, I think on the train, I probably even met up. But again, that's a bit vague, because it was rather obvious who the youngsters were, and I think there were probably a couple of others on the train. I can remember meeting or remembering having met at the aircrew selection board Hugh Rigg, Diana's brother, who joined the Air Force at the same time and was in the same entry as myself, and we were both at that aircrew selection centre together. And he was older because he'd been playing rugby for Headingley, so he was considerably older than I was, and I was much younger. And it's only recently I heard that on the selection side, wherever that was on the interview side, and I can't remember whether that was Lakenhurst up in Kingsway or whether it was up at Dedalus House, but I somehow let slip, because my brother pre-briefed me on all these, the right way to answer, and when he debriefed me afterwards about the aircrew selection, I mean, I'd literally given all the wrong answers as far as he was concerned from his officer selection side. But
now, what happened when you got to Cranwell then? What was your reception like? How did they treat you?
Well, initially we were met at the station, and we just climbed in the back of a three-tonner, and with our things, and it might even have been a coach. It was one or the other. I've got a bit mixed up in my memory then, and it's odd. I half think we did not go to Sleaford, because other people remember going. I think we were picked up at Grantham. I think most people went to Sleaford, intriguingly, but I'm pretty certain we were picked up at Grantham. And then the initial side was very much linked with this general junior entries there, where it was hutted accommodation, and it was split where there was a senior and a junior entry. entry, in junior entries. It was all called junior entries, and it was hutted accommodation with those little central stoves in them and tiled.
What were the huts like? Can you describe them?
Well, pretty basic, but the whole thing revolved around, which you'll have heard from other people, of lino that was always very well polished, and you actually wandered round on floor pads all the time when you were in the huts. And the quite amazing thing really was the type of regimentation there was about the... We had formers for the blankets to fold them in a set way, so you had three blankets and you used these wooden formers to make them look very neat and tidy with the pillows and what have you, and everything neatly in your locker and that. But my big memory of that was just not the discipline there, but also the fact that we regularly used to have these fights between the